2 Timothy,
chapter 1, verse 8.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There is no way that you can talk about or reveal to anyone by words the testimony of our Lord without the same kind of warnings that they gave in the first century. Three rebuffs. Somebody wants to become part of the community, you say, you fool. Don't you know you lose everything you once held dear? Go away and think about it. Comes back. I still want to be a part of it. Say, you fool. Don't you know you'll be hated of all men? And they'll call you demon possessed? Go away and think about it. Comes back the third time and says, I still want to be a part of it. Say, don't you know they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? He says, yes, I know that he warmly accepted into the mystery. It's just the exact opposite of what's done today. Because the people are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's pretty heavy duty. Question is, are you ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody have any response?
And shame is directly tied to your ties to your success in the world. You're protected of those ties.
Well, I mean, if you go through those three rebuffs, it kind of destroys them. No, the whole point of the mystery of God is that you explain the full counsel of God, which includes all of the afflictions, all of the suffering, all of the loss of everything you once held dear. Finally, that they'll kill you and think you're doing God holy service. Unless that's what you just declare, then you, by definition, are ashamed of the mystery of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, you can, and people say to me, well, I haven't been heard it ever since the day I became a believer. Well, you're talking about, I'm over here, I'm trying to get the people into the kingdom, and then you're talking about way over here about discipleship. Well, you don't have to talk to all the people about that. So they lie to get you into the kingdom. That's pretty sad. They've made the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ health and wealth. God help. God help you if you're doing that. Anybody else? Do it by silence just as much as you do it by speaking stupid things. You've got to see this. That you, again, words. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Everybody fully understands it. Well, what part don't you understand? Let's go to Acts.
What? Earlier I was saying about how the whole essence of this is not to come up with memorized words of what that testimony is, so that we can give a tithe to this matter. But that there's liberty and agreement. Yes. And the agreement has to be between death. So it creates the.
Remember when we went through all those places at Acts? And James, about not being ashamed of the testimony of declaring the full gospel. But it's so tempting to say, come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. All your troubles will be over. And of course, happens. People in their first hint of affliction, and they either didn't give enough money, or they have hidden sin in their life, or there's demon oppression. Because God wants you to be successful. No, he wants you to prosper. But to prosper means to have a completed journey. The journey you're on from the world to the mercy seat, be complete. Total understanding. No shadows of turning. I promise you that this, whether or not we say this to the world or not, God is going to say it to the world. But I feel an urgency that we must say it, at least for those in our world. Chapter 3. Hear this word of the Lord, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no trap for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing of all at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets.
The lion hath roared. Who will not fear the Lord? Who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? How can we be silent? Mysteries. Amos. Therefore, in verse 16, chapter 5. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, Alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and much as are skillful of lamentations to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into a house and leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Let's go to Acts 26. If you had one of the little dealies like Kevin has, and you wouldn't have to go flip through pages. Okay. 26. We've looked at this a lot lately, but Paul is before King Agrippa. He's talking about what happened to him. You gotta speak louder. Yeah. He died, really. Normally, if you eat a worm, you die. They die. I don't know. Okay, verse. Let's start. We got to start with this one. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. They would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, the King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I did also in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I was, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And as we know, that's not a good translation. It means how difficult it has become for you to resist the divine impulse. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you, unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, verse 16 is an incredible understanding there. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, as you just saw Jesus, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So there's no testimony except about him. You understand that? It's not what God did for your understanding or what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. It's where did he appear unto you? That's what you testify. Now, the word testimony and the word testify here, the testimony, be not afraid of the testimony of our Lord. The word testimony is the word martion, martyron, which means it's the same as the word martyr. It's just a different verb form. Testimony. Give your testimony. I stand up and give our testimony. I'm picking on Gary because he used to be so involved in it, Christ for the Nations. I did two things at Christ for the Nations, which banned me permanently. John Garlock, who was the student, head of students there, every time that Mrs. Lindsay would go out of town, and he'd ask me to come and speak to the students. And one time, and I'm sure that Gary was in the audience, he was a student there then, they were all getting ready to go save the sinners in New Orleans at Mardi Gras. Remember?
Yeah.
They had all learned how to testify. And I told them to stay home. Speak of nothing until it's been worked out in you by Christ Jesus. And the second thing was, I had one of the cheap Bibles, and I went through this process. This is the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The Word of God cannot be destroyed. Amen? I took out a lighter and set the Bible on fire. I said, then, that can't be the Word of God. It's been destroyed. Well, much to my chagrin, Frieda Lindsay had come home early and was standing in the back of the room. This is words about word. The most pristine words that have ever been written are in here. Words about the word, about the pattern that God showed Moses on the mountain. It's not a how-to manual. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. As you see him in each of those verses, in each of those pages, there's nothing. Go to Revelation 19. What, Gary?
I was thinking back in those days, I remember why I signed on for that experience. Because I was afraid to speak to people. Whether it was a good testimony or thing or not. I just was afraid to talk. I hate people coming up to me saying that stuff. But I was scared to death of what I was saying. I just didn't like that fear. So I said, no, I'm not going to do the test just because I'm so fearful.
Well, that's not really the remembrance I have of it when you and I were living together.
Yeah, well, you didn't know my heart. That was very good.
But I told you, remember, before you started, forget everything you learned after you got there.
Yeah, I had no trouble with recognition because I had I didn't take to heart what was being said. Unless it, you know, met certain criteria, because Cross had been understood. And since they had such divergent speakers, their students were just going crazy. Because they couldn't reconcile what one guy said to another.
All right. All right. Chapter 19, verse 1. Revelation. And after these things, remember. What things? Verse chapter 17 and 18 are about the destruction of Babylon. Seven mountains in your mind, when put your horror sits, no longer have any influence on you. So after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And again, remember, in the temple on earth there was not a seat in it. Temple in Jerusalem, there was no seat. There was no place to rest because something continually had to be done. Rather than going all the way from inspecting the wood to make sure there were no worms or bugs in the wood before it was put on the altar. All the infinite number of things that had to be made just right for the sacrifices. No place to rest. Nothing. Everything. The 24 courses of the priesthood were constantly going.
There's the verses.
That was inside.
That was the mercy seat.
Right. The mercy seat was the only seat. The back were only to the high priest once a year. So, now, here, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped. Did nothing. The 24 elders are the, each elder had in charge one of the 24 courses of the priesthood. And the 4 beasts were the 4 cardinal points of the compass. So the minute the elders fell down, and the 4 beasts fell down, that means that it was not just over, it was over, over. There's nothing left to be done. Amen. A voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord our God, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He alone is the Word of God. This is words about the Word. That's all they're about. So the testimony of Jesus, again, we saw it here. It's the full concept that they're talking about. It's not just you talking about Jesus. But you can't speak to them until these things have been worked out in you. Otherwise, your speech will be a play, an act that you're playing.
When we started today talking about the being ashamed of the testimony, I quickly wanted to find points, like 5 points, and I was like, felt very lacking. I couldn't find them. And I was like, well, let me just find 2 points. But as we go on, it's like, this testimony is rivers of living water. It's his.
And it's out of your, if you believe on him, it's total reliance. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now to the world, let's go to 2 Corinthians.
So that's because, you know, the verse I remember you helped me with. I dare not speak on anything unless God has brought it within me.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus. So, if God has brought it in you with no effort on your part, he's revealed it within you. It's going to flow naturally out of like living water with no pretentious or...
Yeah. I promise you that when this happens, everybody will be in the same position as Jeremiah was. He said, Lord, I've been deceived. You know, I tried not to do the teachings. I tried 5 years or 4.5 years. I knew what would happen. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So the rivers of living water will be constant, and we always triumph. To one, life unto life; to another, death unto death. And many, many, many more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Amen. You'll never. Don't the tendency to count as people as a means or a measure of success. It's going back into making judgments by the flesh.
Wondering for success going
when I knew finally that I was to teach, I taught one night a week, Thursdays. Tuesdays. And sometimes one or two would come, but most of the time for the early years, no one would come. I mean, the early months. Anyway. So I still, every night, every Tuesday, I was there, ready. If anybody came, it was God's business. Nobody came, it was God's business. But I had to be faithful to what I saw. Now, Now we've got three people. Anybody have anything else?
You're saying that the story you tell, but the full gospel is a story.
Let me tell that, because I don't know that I told that in here. Demos Shakarian was a Greek, obviously. And he started, I think in the early 60s, he started a group called Full Gospel Businessmen. And they had meetings all over the country. They had all over the world. I mean, had chapters. And they had a TV show that was, they bought time in every market, all 235 markets in America. And I was invited on this to be a guest on the show. And they were taping it at McFarland Auditorium. And, huh?
It's full.
Yeah, and it was full. Rod and the TV crew was there. I had somebody else on first. And Demos introduced me. And he's building up. And so then I came out, and he's about that tall next to me. And he slaps me on the back. All the crowd's all excited. And what has the Lord done for you today, Brother Holy? He said, well, he has messed up my life today. He says he's done everything today. Total silence. Total. Hear, I'm serious. Cliche about hearing a pin drop. Because they knew that was why. And he did some stuff that made my interview very brief. And then he, afterwards, he told the director, producer that was producing the show for him to destroy that tape. And it was a guy named Dick Mann, who I knew very well, and he and I were in business together before I became a believer. He had become a believer also. He told Shakarian that he quit. He wouldn't carry the program. I heard later that they got more mail out of that one program than they did the entire year. But they never showed it to me. But the people are hungry. We're not for some icing. We want the real deal. Amen? Anything?
Yeah, they want the real deal, but then when you're saying that, I think of Mark 4, you know, the parable of the seed.
That's what we were supposed to be studying, but I got off track because of something.
They want it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, when persecutions and afflictions arise because of the word, by and by, they are attending.
They want that. They want that other teaching. Prosperity. That's, you know.
They want the good stuff.
Is there anybody else out there?
Yeah.
They want the anybody else out there.
But it really isn't just health and wealth. I'd probably say this is one
benefit of it. But you have to speak louder if you're speaking for the benefit of the two people on the internet.
Yeah, I can speak louder. Yeah. It's not just about health and wealth. It's a whole list of other things, of having a Christian social club you can go to, or having a nice Christian school. It's 101 things which look okay. But it could be coming here, actually,
amen,
as well. But at the end of the day, it isn't all about our life being here. It's supposed to be for us.
It's nothing.
It's being sold a false gospel. And when it all goes south, which it will, so you've got to make sure it does, that's when people fall away. And I, it's interesting, there's a guy who lives out in L.A. You've seen him about 50 years ago. And he came up with this wonderful research statistics that showed in the mass crusade, whether Graham or whoever the heck it is, the success rate, so called, of people giving their life to Christ and whatever, filling out a card and praying God's and all this stuff, the fall away rate is in the high 90s percentage points because they're promised something that is not real. Or what they're being sold is they're being offered something real, but the rest of everything else is just false. And when they actually get to the real deal, I don't want that.
Well, they've been lied to.
They have.
That's what's important, that we don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. Especially.
And so most people you meet, they will get to them who actually have any kind of gross punctuality about them. You find they've been in this church. Oh, I've been through that. I used to go to that church. Because they've been through all these other things looking for that which is real. They were never told anything.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, sadly, some of us put some expectations and results oriented, and everybody, a lot of people, put a time frame on to happen by a certain point and move on.
Barna did her survey.
And they returned their instead.
Yeah. George Barna did a survey, and that there are 85 million people in America who have claimed to have had a born-again experience. And in his book, The Revolutionary, he said that there were, I think, 23 million of those that left the church. But they haven't left the church. Well, they haven't left God, they left the church. They left the church to be the church. But privately, he said that the figure is closer to double that, something around 46, almost 50% of the people claim to have had a born-again experience have left the church. And it's a thing that's going. And the church growth rates that you see, always, you'll find out they left another church to go to that church. So there's no, they're not, there's nothing new under the sun.
Especially men.
Yeah.
It's feminized so much.
Feminization of the gospel.
It's because usually it's the woman. It's 60% women. Anyway. And the men are just like going because the wife wanted to be this nice Christian man, you know? And they're going, they really don't want to be there.
Take it, big guy.
It's predominantly there. The church.